The following message is from First Baptist Church in Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message or previous messages, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That's www.fbcclearfield.com.
Good to hear. Well, it's good to have one of our missionaries with us from the Gambia, Western Africa, Joanne Tompkins. And so it's great to have her come into town and just give an update and what God is doing in her ministry there. And so we'll hear from her an update this morning.
Break any guitars on the way through. Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you. It's the second time for those of you that came for Sunday school. You heard some stories. Somebody said, I could listen to your stories all day. I said, I could tell stories all day. But I kind of have a time limit this morning, so sorry. So if you've been keeping track, which you probably haven't, but you might realize that I'm home a little earlier than anticipated. Normally, I have been 4 years on the field and then coming home for a one-year furlough and visiting with you during that 1 year. Well, it has actually only been, I actually was here 3.5 years ago. I was only on the field 2 years this time before coming home on furlough because, you know, things change. Sometimes God has plans that we don't know about and plans that we look at and say, I wouldn't have done it that way. But It's been kind of a crazy 2 years, and one of the things that God is continuing to teach me, to reteach me, is to trust. And when we think about the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. So it shouldn't surprise us when God does something and it's not the way that we would have done it, because He is God and we are not. And even though we like to be in control and we like to, you know, we like things to work out the way that we had it in mind, He has a better plan because He knows everything. We see just this little tiny speck in front of us, and He sees the entire universe across time and space, and He's not limited like we are. But it's still amazing that we continue to want things to happen the way that we want them to happen. So as I was thinking about what I wanted to share with people during this furlough, well, the theme turned out to be trust. Just trusting God, even in the midst of crazy things happening and things unexpected. And it seems like as I was putting the presentation together, many of the key words seem to start with T. So this is the Tompkins T's for the term. So again, starting with trust and transitions. You know, there are a lot of missionaries say hello and goodbye an awful lot. And then there are times like this last 2 years where there have been a lot of hellos and goodbyes. Well, actually more goodbyes than hellos. And that's never fun. But we have seen one new missionary come to the field. Allison is a physician's assistant, and she finished her year of language study just before I came home on furlough. Was doing pretty well, and so we're happy to have her with us. And we also had a new couple appointed, and they are busily raising their support to join us in the Gambia. And so we're excited to see how God brought that about, because they just came out of the blue. I don't even know where they heard about the Gambia, but it was just like, yep, we're going to the Gambia. We're like, really? Oh, that's not supposed to be the response, but you know, most people, they you know, we talk to them about coming to the Gambia, and they're like, the Gambia. Yeah, no, I don't think so. But we've also seen two resignations. We've had two missionary families resign, not only from the Gambia field, but also from ABWE, under not great circumstances. And so that's been difficult to work through. And we have, I'm going to skip the illness one for a minute, and we have one couple that they are counting down to retirement. If they retire on schedule, they'll be retiring in 2 months. I'm not sure what they've decided, if they're going to stay longer. I haven't heard their final decision, but they could retire any time. And then we have had one devastating illness. If perhaps you remember in previous visits when I've been here, I've mentioned my colleague Deb Newsom. She's the woman that I have worked with in the literacy ministry for the last 19 years, and we have also been kind of partners in crime in a lot of areas of ministry. We're the two that do most of the discipling of the women believers. We're also the two that are the most involved in direct evangelistic and Bible teaching ministries. But she went home for a regular furlough last March, thinking that she would be home for a year and then could be back. Well, within weeks of being home, she saw her doctor, and her doctor said that she has metastasized kidney cancer. She had had kidney cancer. She had had kidney cancer in the kidney about 5 years ago, and had had that kidney removed. And they believed at the time that they had gotten that it had all been in the kidney and that there was nothing left. Well, there was something left, and it has metastasized to the spine. So she had been in severe pain, but really hadn't connected it that it could be the cancer metastasizing. So. And if you have any medical knowledge at all, or know anybody that has metastasized kidney cancer, it's one of those cancers that's not really treatable. They give you something to try to slow the progress of the cancer. And praise the Lord, I talk to her pretty regularly. She's back in the States, and of course she will not be returning to the Gambia. The medicine that she's taking has stopped the progression of the cancer. All of her scans have been basically the same since she arrived home. So the medicine is working for now. She continues to be as active as she can be in being part of our missionary team, even though she's here stateside. So she is continuing to act as the team leader. She's continuing to try to do ministry to Wolofs through the internet. So she's continuing to try to be part of the Gambia team, but we know that that's not going to last very long. So that's one of those things that when that happens, everybody's like, what? Why? And we also have been talking about and transitioning the team focus. For years, our focus has been in the rural area where I live. So our focus has been on the medical ministry and on the literacy ministry. So practically every missionary that has come, they have come to be out there with us. And then we've just had a support couple basically working in the city. And we are looking at flip-flopping that. Not saying that nobody will come to the rural area where I am, and we're not saying that the people working in the rural area are going to move to the city. If God does that, I'm not going to be happy. I'll do it, but I won't be happy. Let's put it that way. But we're saying that new missionaries coming in, we want them to come to the rural area, be with us for a year while they work on Wolof, and then to go back and have ministry in the urban area, because we're seeing some openings in the urban area, that we need people there to take advantage of them. And you know that my primary ministry has been literacy. Well, with Deb not going back, that leaves me alone running the Literacy Center. It also will, at some point down the road, it will leave my work funds as the only money going into the Literacy Center. Because when missionaries go to the field, part of their support package is designated work funds for whatever their particular ministry is. So mine and Deb's have been literacy, and so our money goes in to run that literacy program. Well, the time will come when Deb can no longer put her work funds in, and my work funds alone are not enough to run the program as it is. So I will have to be thinking and praying, and along with the rest of the team, to decide what to do, whether to scale it back, shut it down, do something else, and I don't know. But praise the Lord, I do have, the literacy ministry does have in savings enough money to run the ministry for about 2 years after Deb's money stops coming in. So that gives us some time to think and to pray and to see what God's going to do. Because if God raises up another person interested in working in the literacy ministry with me, then they would come to the field with, not only would I have another person to work with me in the ministry, but they would also come to the field with their work funds to go into the ministry. So a lot of things can happen. So just be praying with us about that. So don't be surprised if when I come next time that I'm talking about something completely different than literacy. But as you know, a lot of my favorite stories are not about literacy at all. They're about my interactions with people as I build those relationships to share Christ. So don't worry about it. My ministry really isn't changing all that much. What I do for the sake of the government may change, but what I'm really doing, that's not going to change very much. So we're seeing different roads, different opportunities. And with more missionary personnel, we're hoping that we can take advantage of some opportunities to evangelize in the urban areas. We sponsor a radio broadcast. It's on 3 days a week. It is Bible teaching, chronological Bible teaching in Wolof. And we have a phone number that is played at the end of that broadcast. Well, I often carry that radio phone. So if it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and that phone rings, I went, oh, the radio broadcast just ended. And sure enough, it's a radio caller. And sometimes they're calling to say, you know, hey, where can I get more information about this? One caller called me, and, I mean, they pay for minutes on their phone. And so one caller, I picked up the phone, said hello, and he just started rattling off questions. He probably spouted about 20 questions without taking a breath. And I'm like, you know, I really want to help you answer these questions, but I can't because I can't remember what they all are. You have to stop. And that contact eventually turned into an email conversation because he didn't want to pay for the minutes and he was going way deeper than we could go any other way. So. And before I left, I turned his information over to one of the men in the city. And so hopefully, prayerfully, I'm praying that he has had the chance to follow up with that man. And sometimes you get the ones that really surprise you. Picked up the phone one day and the man's going, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is really good teaching. I really like this teaching. He says, I'm an imam, but I really like this teaching. Do you know what an imam is? It's like the pastor of the mosque. And so he was the pastor at one of the big mosques in the city. And he's like, but this is good teaching. And he's like, praise the Lord. Because people are all over listening to it, and they like the teaching, even though it is definitely Christian teaching, but the man doing the teaching is a former Muslim. And so he can approach it in a way that answers the questions that a Muslim would have. But until the Lord directs otherwise, the literacy ministry will continue. It's been a great ministry. It's been a great way to build relationships with other villages outside of the one that we live in. It does create open doors. We have many opportunities in these other villages because we've been there with the literacy class. Also, my literacy staff, they are the core of our translation team. We've been translating Bible teaching tools into Wolof. All of these people are Muslims. So obviously I don't have them translating Bible things without either Deb or myself there with them, because we want to make sure that they don't get a Muslim twist on some of the teaching, but they have been very valuable in this process, and so we want to continue doing that if at all possible. But there's only one missionary left in that ministry, and that's me. And so there's a shortfall because of that. We've also seen a development of tools. Okay, the translated books that I talked about, and I have examples of those out on my display table as well. And so these, we anticipate people being able to use, even new missionaries that don't speak a lot of Wolof yet, we think that they will be able to use those and very quickly begin using those to share the gospel. And believe it or not, cell phones. Because almost everybody I know has a cell phone. Now, they don't all have smartphones, but some of them do. So we give out memory cards. We get usually two to four gigabyte memory cards. And we put the Bible teaching lessons like we have on the radio that people love. We put some of the movies. This is probably from the Magdalena, the Mary Magdalene, which is a related movie to the Jesus film. So if they have a smartphone, they can watch the videos on it. And there are a couple other videos that are available in Wolof as well. So we give out memory cards to people who express interest in hearing more. Not that we won't tell them ourselves, but if they have it on a memory card, any time of the day or night, they might be sitting around their compound listening to the teaching. And probably not by themselves. They may have a whole group of people that are all gathered around listening to this. Well, that's far more, contact than any missionary can make. And also, when Deb found that she was sick and would not be returning to the Gambia, she made a video to tell people what was happening with her health, and also to share with people why she is not afraid to die. And so she very clearly shares the gospel with people. So when we got that video, I took it to several places, to several families that she had specifically asked me needed to see it. And so I was having showings around the village. And then word got out that Deb had sent a video back. And so I would have people at my door saying, "Hey, we heard there's a video. Can we see it?" So I had my laptop set up in my living room for weeks, as people came to watch the video. And I started putting it on people's phones. If they had a memory card, I put it on their memory card. If they didn't have a memory card, I put it on one of our memory cards that already had the other teachings on it, and gave it to them. We had people coming. I mean, I had a waiting list for memory cards because we were having trouble making them fast enough to keep up with the demand. And I had some people would come to me and they'd say, Can I get another memory card? You know, my relative from another village came, and I was showing them the video, or I was playing the teaching for them, and they wanted the memory card to take back home with them. I told them to just come to you and get it, and they said, no, you give me this one, you go get it from her. Or somebody would say, well, I loaned my memory card to somebody and they won't give it back. Or my kids took it out of my phone and now they're playing it all the time, and so I don't have one in my phone anymore. In those cases, I'm happy to give out new memory cards. We know that those memory cards have gone into Senegal, other villages in the Gambia, and I know of one that has gone into Mauritania, which is the next country north of Senegal. So the word of God is spreading through technology, which is amazing when you think about it's Africa. We have a lot of people reading. We either read with people. This is Allison, our new missionary, and so she was reading the little book to a group of people. This was right at the end of her 1 year of language study, and part of her language study was practicing reading that book so that she would be able to read it with people. And then we have some men that read and listen on their own, and there are some men that seek me out to ask questions or to ask for books or to ask for memory cards if they don't already have one. I have opportunities sometimes for teaching and training, and I love getting to do this. I don't get to do it very often, but sometimes I get to be in front of a group and teach something from the Bible. Oops, there we go. When we translate our books, we call in Muslims from the area because we don't have any Christians around us where we are. Not that can read anyway. So we call people in and have them read through our entire book that we translated to check the Wolof. So even though they're reading through the story of the Bible, they don't object. They will happily read through the whole thing and help us to make sure that it's good Wolof and that people will understand it. And then this was fun. Deb and I had the opportunity to have a workshop with African believers in the city and teach them how to use those books with people. And they were excited that we did the entire workshop in Wolof, and because so often they do everything in English. So we've seen some triumphs, even during the hard times of the term. The gospel is being heard on the radio. Bible studies are being started because of response to that. People are requesting memory cards. Even people who aren't interested in the gospel, they would watch Deb's video because they know and love her. The believers are getting bold because people are listening to these things all over town. The believers are being more bold about playing it for people, playing it for their friends and family. One of the believers is meeting regularly with friends of hers who live in other villages. They listen to the teachings and then they discuss them. And she believes that these friends have come to Christ. And then the African believers in the city are seeing the need to use a local language in sharing the gospel. But of course, there are tripping points. There are hard things. Limited personnel. If I'm there, if everyone's there, there are four women out in the rural village running the health center and the literacy center. We have two couples in the city right now. One is preparing for almost immediate retirement, and the other one only expects to be there one more term. But we do have the one couple raising support to come. Limited finances. The finances are connected to the missionaries, so when we don't have as many missionaries, the finances are also limited. But God is blessed. I believe we've had enough gifts come in that we have enough money to pay for the radio program, I think another 2 years. And so that's a huge blessing. Of course, new missionaries coming in are going to have limited language ability, and it's important that they learn and master that local language. And that's one of my responsibilities on the field, is helping the new missionaries to learn Wolof. Of course, limited health. None of us are getting any younger. So we deal with health issues, but we keep going because that's what God has us to do. And limited prayer support. That's not to imply that people don't pray for us, but it is saying that when we have fewer missionaries, we don't have as many groups of people who are praying. And this is a spiritual battle, and it will only be won through prayer. We're going right into Satan's playground, and I'm not sure. It is only the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to break through to these people. I have been there for, you know, over 20 years now, and seen just a handful of people coming to know the Lord, and to see the gospel going out again and again and again and again and again, and still not see the fruit. But that's up to God. God is the only one that can bring the increase. But when people pray, God truly does move. You're going to see a video of three of the women believers who have been faithfully serving the Lord. They've been faithfully following the Lord for many years now. And when we videoed this, all we did was say, all I did was sit there and say, tell me how you came to Jesus. That's it. So I didn't ask any leading questions. I didn't prepare them for this. So this is just what came from their heart. The third woman...
The Bible instructs Christians to go into war.
The third woman is actually my housekeeper. So when she talks, she will say you, and she's talking directly to me because I'm sitting there right in front of her when she's videoing. And when she talks, when she refers to Aji or Aji Soon, that's also me. When she talks about Hojege, that is Deb Newsom. So I forgot to let them know that there was video in here too. Sorry. Are we ready to try it? Yep. Yep. It didn't embed, okay. Because when I tested it, it played. So. Well, that just means I get to talk more while we wait.
Yeah,
there we go.
When I came to Jesus, it was through God and you all. People must have someone to guide them, and God said, we should go along with that person. I have been coming here to the missionary compound for a long time. Since I've been coming here, I've had peace with the missionaries. We have talked so much about Jesus. These conversations are one that involves heart and mind. We've seen that these conversations are beneficial. We praise God that we come here and God has joined us together with all of you so that we could have conversations with you all about the way of Jesus. I am very happy with all that Jesus has done in my heart. I am happy about it because he has softened my heart. He has given me faith that is absolutely complete. He has given me faith, and I am praying for my family, my children, and my husband, and everyone who wants to follow Jesus, that God would put us together in the path of Jesus. I want that because I see that if anyone believes in Jesus, you won't be worried. He is compassionate. And when you believe in him, in your heart, and you won't be hungry or thirsty. He does so many things for you too. There is so much benefit when you believe in him with all your heart. What God has done in bringing women to my compound is only by the power of God. God has put me together with some women who are my friends. They come to see me very often. When they would come, they would find me listening to the Bible teaching. They would listen and say, "These teaching, when you listen to them, you want to hear more." I would tell them, "If you are interested in following the way of Jesus, I can talk with you about Jesus." They were interested in knowing about the way of Jesus. They come to my compound on Saturday, and we gather to talk about Jesus. I tell them not to just put on an appearance of believing in Jesus, because something that you put on, you will also take off when you want to. If that belief is inside your heart, then God softens your heart and puts in you the mind of Jesus. So don't put on an act. Believe in your hearts. The women have done just that. They came and sat in my house and talked about Jesus. I am very happy in Jesus, and my friends also are happy in him. We praise God, and we also thank these missionaries who have shown us the way of Jesus. We didn't know the road to take, so we praise God very much. I want to add my greeting to all my brothers and sisters in the Lord, my friends and my neighbors in America. I also want to pray that God, who is capable of all things, would draw in many disciples and put belief in Jesus in their hearts. I am praying all of this in the name of the Messiah. Amen.
When I came to the way of Jesus, I came with another woman, Ndeingalen. She's dead now, but we used to come to the Bible study together. This year is 13 years since I started in the way of Jesus. In those years, I have seen the benefits of following Jesus. I have seen benefit from the missionaries. Everything I have is from the missionaries. Everything that I know, I have learned from the missionaries. It's just me and my husband. We have a good relationship with the missionaries. We come and talk to them, and they come talk to us about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's from the missionaries that we learn about Jesus, and we are still with Jesus now. I have seen many changes. Jesus changed and softened my heart. Jesus is worth following. There's nothing that Jesus has not done for me.
I came to Jesus through work here on the missionary compound. I have worked here a long time, almost 25 years. I started with Matara Drame when their son Omar was still a toddler. I was with them until they left, and you came. Aji, you hired me, and I worked for you for a long time. Your character pleased me, and my character pleased you. The work was good. It was good for me and good for you. We never had any difficulty between us. Things continued like that until the year that your mother died. When you came back after your mother died, you showed me the picture of your mother's funeral.
You told me all about Jesus, and then you asked me, Jatu, what do you say about Jesus? I told you that I wanted to join the way of Jesus. My heart wants him very much. You said, so you believe in Jesus? I said, yes, I believe. You said, you believe? I said, yes, I believe in my heart. That's how I entered the way of Jesus. From then until now, we have just continued to move forward. It has been very good for me. Whenever I have a problem, I just pray and God helps me because of Jesus. This hope is why I follow Jesus. My friends also want to come to the way of Jesus. I come on Mondays to study God's word. We study and then go home. Jesus is worth following. When you follow him, you won't see anything that causes you to regret it. You won't regret it. It's a good path. I want everyone to come into Jesus. When Zosa gave up books about Jesus, I will give them to my children to read to us. After the books came the memory card with Bible teaching on them. I have given so many of my family memory card. They are listening to the teaching about Jesus. They are believing it. I believe it, and I have put it in my heart. When I die, I'm with him. My everything is with him. I want all of my family to come to him too. There are many who are looking into the teaching of Jesus. So maybe in the future, there will be many who will come to follow him. Josiah gave video too. When they came, that was very good. When you see it and understand it, it will please you and make your heart happy. You know that we lost. But after a while, you won't be lost anymore if you follow the way of Jesus. That's what I see about Jesus the Messiah. When you follow him, you won't be lost. This way is good. That's what I tell my friend too when they come to me. I thank all the missionary. You are the reason I have Jesus, especially Ajisun and Zosage used to bring a book to my compound to teach me. You, Aji, taught me at your house. This is what I want. This is the way I am following now. Jesus. He is the one I want all of my family and my neighbors to follow. Many are coming to learn about him. I praise and thank you all.
Amen. It's amazing to see and hear what God is doing all over the world, right? You know, it's amazing to think that God is working in people's lives. A lot of times we just kind of live in our own world and not think about how God is working all around the world. That's great. Just briefly, I just wanted to share something that I've been learning from Ezra. I've been reading through. It's a little tougher to read through, you know, Ezra. But I was thinking about, you know, what leads people, what leads missionaries like Joanne to go forth and to live in Africa and to leave family behind and to sacrifice and to share the gospel. It's really that their lives have been already shaped by the gospel. They experienced the saving work of Christ. And I was thinking through Ezra 9 and Ezra's there and he hears about how Israel has married foreign wives, and at the time it's a serious sin for Israel to do, and in verse 3 he's just appalled. He says, I was appalled, and the people tremble at the words of God, and Ezra says that he sat appalled until evening, and people gather around him And they're just, you know, just picture the scene of him just like sitting there appalled, and people are gathered around watching Ezra just sit there as time, an hour goes by. And he prays to God and he says, you know, I'm ashamed and I blush to lift my face to God. Our iniquities are higher than our heads. Our guilt is up to the heavens. And this guilt has led to their captivity and some of the consequences of sin. But he says that God's favor provided this remnant. And they are able to return to the land and have some be revived from their captivity somewhat through that. But he says in verse 9, you have not forsaken us, but you have shown love to us. So even amidst our sin, God shows his love to us. And he says in verse 10, what can we say? We have forsaken your commandments. We have forsaken God. We have left you. It's like, what can we say? You know, we can't, at the end of the chapter 9, he says, we can't even stand because of this. It's like, he knows that their sin is present. And it just shows the, when we think about the gospel, we have to recognize our sin and recognize that we can't stand because of our sin. We can't stand on our own work. We can't stand on us alone. And amazingly, my favorite verse in chapter 9 is verse 13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, seeing that you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserved and have given us such a remnant as this. And then he says in verse 14, should we continue to sin in light of that? And it just made me think, for us, I mean, obviously we're sinners and we recognize that, and we think about our sin, we can't stand. And our sin, it's so big, it goes up to the heavens. But yet through Christ, he has punished us less than we deserved. Actually, he has punished us zero, because Christ has took it all. He's took it on the cross. And in that, we can say he has definitely punished us less than we deserved. So in light of that, should we continue to sin? Of course not. But experiencing his grace and mercy leads us to, you know, live godly lives, to go and serve, to share this gospel that has changed our lives with other people. And I just wanted to share that. It just made me think about, you know, Ezra and our sin, but also his mercy. And that leads us to mission. That leads us to sharing the gospel. So I ask our musicians to come as we sing a couple more verses, and we'll have a time of communion and go from there. But we'll be singing a song, In Christ Alone. We'll just sing the first two verses, and I'll ask our deacons to come forth at that time, and then we'll have communion. And after that, I will sing a couple, two more verses. So, In Christ Alone.